On today's Technobabble, 6 tips for adding AV to a historic church building.
This is Technobabble, your weekly source for church video and graphics news, perspectives, tips, and tricks. And now here's your host, Paul Clifford.
Thanks and welcome again to another episode of Technobabble. I am your host, Paul Allen Clifford, and I'd love for you to join the conversation. So if you could head over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact and leave any questions, comments, snide remarks, what have you there, I'd be happy to get in touch with you and give you my answers. I've already gotten a question for this week for the Q&A show that will be happening tomorrow on that page, so feel free to drop by and submit your questions. I'll be answering those a little bit later, so just take a look at that. Also, I want to talk real quick about a couple things. First off, churchstreaming.tv. Churchstreaming.tv is my streaming provider. They provide all the bandwidth for the Church TechCast network, and I couldn't be happier with them. So head over there and take a look at what they have to offer. I think you'll be pleased, especially with things like iOS streaming, flat rate pricing, a Roku channel. It just doesn't get much better. So head over, take a look. I think that you'll be glad that you did. Also, I want to talk about my pastor's book, What Life Are You Waiting For? I'm hoping to start showing the promo that the video team at our church did for it, which is top-notch. Basically, the premise of the book is God has plans for your life. You're probably afraid to step forward into them. Let's talk about that, and let's take some action. Let's do whatever it takes to go out and change eternity. Wait, that sounds kind of familiar. That's right. It's my pastor, so I've learned a lot of the stuff that I put into practice in my own life from him. So if you like the stuff that I talk about on Wednesdays in the Eternity Changers show, you will love this book. So head over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/whatlifebook. If that doesn't work, by the way, just try trinitydigitalmedia.com/whatlife, and that'll take you there. I'm having some issues with the pretty link redirection, but we'll get going right now. So the first thing I want to do is I want to address something that you might have noticed. Coming up on 9 years ago, I started this podcast. Now it's come and gone over the years, but it's been pretty steady for the last year or so. Not quite a year. But back then, I needed some theme music. And so I looked and looked, and I wanted to do things right because I knew that copyright is an issue. Well, I found an unsigned band that I thought was really good, and I asked for their permission to use their song as my theme music, and they gave it to me in writing. So I've used that in these subsequent years, and I really like the song, I really like the band. They were subsequently signed by a record label, and I celebrated for them because, you know, I had kind of a kinship to them. We were both kind of unknowns, and they made it big, so I'm happy for them. Well, fast forward to last week, and I uploaded this show, and I got a takedown notice. So I thought, well, no big deal. I have written permission. I did everything right. In fact, my written permission predates when they signed with this record company, so they've got to abide by that. Well, it was a third party that sent that information in, and they aren't abiding by the written permission. And I'm one guy in a very, not in a good place to fight it. So I'm just changing. And it's really sad because I really like that music. So that's why I had different music at the beginning. And I just wanted to address that in case someone later came back and said, well, that sounds like different music. Yeah, it is. It's royalty-free music that I got off of YouTube, which is where I got my takedown notice. So since the third party doesn't seem to care that I have written permission, which predates the record contract, then I guess I'll just have to use royalty-free music. My wife asked me if I would want to get permission to use some of the music that our church has put out over the years. And I said, well, I don't blame the band, because I don't. I blame the bureaucracy that probably the person that made the decision doesn't have any leeway. Their job is to say no. Maybe they have an exception or two, but they don't have the common sense exceptions that they should have. So I'm concerned if I went with something from someone that I know the artist directly, I might be in the same problem, because he's very talented. He could get signed to do a worship album, and then one of his songs shows up there, and the record company contracts with the third party, again, who has no leeway. They just say no. So permission or no, it's just a bad situation. So that's just a little caution to you. Okay, let's go to the main topic for today. So you've got a historic church building and you want to add AV. This is something that we ran into when I first started doing audio and video work at the seminary that I went to. The seminary chapel is a historic chapel, so it's beautiful, lots of molding, crown molding, white walls, choir loft, you know, just think of a traditional, say, 200-seat church, and that's what it looks like. But we put in audio-video equipment. So how did we do it? Well, here are some things that I learned and some things that I think that you can benefit from. So let's take a look at that. First thing I've already mentioned, number one, use molding and or panduit to run your cables. Now, if you're in a historic building, there is a pretty good chance that there's molding everywhere. M-O-U-L-D-I-N-G, not mold like it's too damp. Molding like the woodwork. So you can sometimes temporarily remove some of that and run cables behind it and then put it back. So that would be kind of a sneaky trick to do it. If you don't have the ability or permission to do such a thing, don't do it. But you can add molding. Now, it's not real molding. It's from a company called Panduit, and they make basically fake molding that's designed for cable runs. So run that along the baseboard. Run it as crown molding. Just get someone with an eye towards structural design and add that into the system. And I think that's a really good way. If you have the choice between a non-painted surface and a painted surface, run your cabling over the painted surface and then repaint the cabling. Now, of course, you always want this as much out of the line of sight as possible. So running it along baseboards is a good plan. Running it along the ceiling where the ceiling meets the wall, that's a good plan. Running it along the bottom of molding even is a good plan. So once you do that, paint the cabling to match the wall so that you don't have a black cable where the wall is white. You don't have blue Cat 5 where the wall is beige, you know, that kind of thing. Paint it to match, and that shouldn't affect your cable one little bit, unless there was a problem with the cable to begin with. So that's the next tip. Thirdly, a lot of times you'll get stuck in bad locations. Bad locations for the audio especially. For some reason, churches will spend a lot of money on an audio system and then put it where the audio engineer doesn't have the ability to mix it properly. So some very popular locations are under balconies, or in the balcony, better, but still not good. Or probably the worst is not in the room at all. Occasionally you'll find that, oh, it's the worst thing ever. So what you want to do is you want to make sure, if you're putting this in, get a digital soundboard. A digital soundboard will be able to, make sure you get one with this ability. I think they all have it, but better safe than sorry. Connect wirelessly with a laptop or an iPad or a tablet of some sort and control it remotely. Now, what does that give you? That gives you the ability to sneak down where the congregation is and mix from there. Now, you might not stay in the congregation the entire time, but during the singing portion, it might be helpful to do that. And that way, you can trust your ears more that you get good audio. You can also have near-field monitors, little speakers that are EQ'd to the same as the room, but that's not going to be as effective as if you were to do this with your ear directly in the room. Because you might find that people are complaining about something being loud and it doesn't sound loud to you. You've got the SPL meter out, it doesn't test as loud, but then you stand where they're standing and you find out, oh, it's not that it's loud, it's that this frequency is a little too piercing, and you can tweak that with the remote, as opposed to running down, listening, running back up, or wherever. So that's how you get over bad locations, is with remotes. You don't want like an IR remote, because that's line of sight. What you want is probably something IP-based over the network. Fourth, I've seen a lot of more traditional buildings try and add cameras in using pan tilts. Those work. They're not as good as having an actual operator on a platform operating the camera. So if you have the space, feel free to do that. Now you can mix and match. So you could have one thing we did at the seminary is we had a pan tilt off this on the stage right side, about fifth or sixth row down, and then we had a pan tilt on the front of the balcony. So we had two camera positions. Now, on the front of the balcony or on the back wall might be a great position for just about any church. But if you could put one there and then another, like, in a corner, that would probably be good. That would probably give you two shooting locations. And the one in the corner, how many people go in the corner? Maybe you could put up a platform and have an actual operator for the subtleties that an operator can provide. So that's what I'd recommend when it comes to cameras, if you need to add those. Five, when you're talking about a screen, sometimes a well-placed curtain, if you've got, let's say that you've got kind of a pointed ceiling instead of a flat ceiling, if you've got a pointed ceiling, then a well-placed curtain between where it would be flat and the top, you can hide a projector screen, a motorized screen behind that, and as long as the curtain looks like it fits in, no one has to know that it's there when it's retracted. They also make acoustically transparent screens. So if you're saying, oh man, the only good location is right where these speakers are, no problem. Get an acoustically transparent screen and stick that in front of the speakers, and then you'll shoot your video onto that screen, but the sound will still come through. So that's also a way to go. Now, six, this is kind of a general tip, and this is the last one. Do not let the excuses stop you. There are always options. There are always alternatives. There's always a creative way to get around a problem. So if the problem is, well, that covers up our cross, that's not a big deal. If it covers up the cross, take a digital picture of the cross and use the digital picture of the cross as a background. You see, don't let these things be excuses. Find ways to overcome the excuses. That's kind of a big thing. Excuses aren't really all that helpful. They're just things that get in the way. Instead, what I want you to do is I want you to do whatever it takes to figure out ways to get around these excuses. I think that that's a much better way of proceeding. So if anyone has anything to add, feel free to put it in the comments below, and I'd love to talk to you. It looks like we've had Adam join the chat. Hi, Adam. If anyone has any questions, feel free to send them. Again, as I said, to trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact, and I'll be happy to talk to you there. Until next time, this is Paul Allen Clifford reminding you to go out and change eternity.